You're listening to DottoTech, helping you get the most out of your technology wherever you use it, at home, at school, or at work. Brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. 20 years, the trusted voice of technology in Canada, Steve Dotto.
Good evening and welcome to DottoTech. I'm Steve Dotto. Glad you could join us this fine evening. How are you doing, Art?
I am fantastic, Steve. Thank you.
That's good to hear. Did you enjoy Grey Cup Week?
I enjoy. I watched some of the game. I went to this great bar called Shanks over in Queensboro, and it's like they bring Las Vegas to Vancouver.
It's good. I'm an old school guy. I'm actually quite a football fan. I used to do the stats for the BC Lions. I used to work on the scoreboard crew.
Oh.
So I actually, I was there last time they won the Grey Cup. I worked the game in 94. So I'm actually a fairly big football fan, and I like to watch it on my own where I can just sit down and watch the game because I understand the game quite well, and I just like to kind of cocoon and not have to be polite to people.
Well, I don't want to brag, but back in high school, I was part of the Grade 8 Championship, BC Championships, where we beat Abbey Senior, Abbey Secondary.
Yeah, St. Thomas More, right?
That's right.
You didn't beat us too often. I went to Vancouver College, and I believe that
we beat you that year.
Yeah, well, maybe.
Our Grade 8 kids did. Well, I did.
Yeah, well, I could thrash those Grade 8 kids right now.
Wow.
But speaking of thrashing, the highlight and the YouTube memory from this entire Grey Cup week has got to be Joe Capp and Angelo Mosca duking it out over the 1963 Grey Cup, which was indeed a dirty hit by Angelo Mosca on Willie the Wisp Fleming, or the BC Lions would have been two-peat 1963 and 1964 Grey Cup champions. 48 years in Angelo Mosca finally gets his comeuppance.
If you don't have Facebook or Twitter, that is the best reason this week to get it, because everyone has been posting it. Everyone's been posting the link to YouTube on their Facebook and Twitter accounts.
I feel bad about laughing about septuagenarians dropping it, but it was pretty funny watching Angelo Mosca swinging his cane and then listening to the interviews. Brian Williams did this wonderful interview with the Metro, and I don't know how Brian Williams didn't just crack up as he was doing the interviews, but he talked to them afterwards. So anyways, yes, YouTube it. It's got nothing to do with technology other than it's on the internet.
Well, somebody must have posted it on videotape with their iPhone or something.
You know, that's the great thing about Canadian football, is the lore of Canadian football. That would never happen at the Super Bowl. You know, the Americans would never, they'd never had, Calgary Stampeder fans riding their horses through the lobby of the Royal York Hotel, you know, in the 1948 Grey Cup. I mean, they just have these stories come out, and they're terrific. And it was good. I guess we should talk what's on the show today in technology-wise. We've got Todd Maffin coming up on the show. We've also got Theo Horstel and Ryan O'Hagan from London Drugs in to talk about Christmas gifts. So if you're planning your Christmas gifts this year, are you up to date on your shopping?
I'm not a pre-Christmas shopper. I am a 23rd, 24th kind of shopper.
Yeah, you'll grow out of that. Maybe. I'm still waiting to. But we'll give you the tools that you need to avoid that in the future. Stick around. I'm Steve Dotto, and this is Dotto Tech. I know Christmas is coming, and you're probably taking a look at that cash flow situation, and the last thing on your mind is your mortgage. But your mortgage is the reason your cash flow situation is what it is, most likely. And one way that you might improve that is by taking a good hard look at what your mortgage is and if you can't improve it. And you know who does that? Billy Mack. BillyMack.com. Billy Mack with an I. Bill Macklem. He's my mortgage guy. Let him take a look at your mortgage. What mortgage brokers do is they take your mortgage and they shop it to all of the different lenders, making sure that you get the best mortgage. And the guy that I trust, Billy Mack. So give him a look on the internet. BillyMack.com.
DottoTech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. You're listening to DottoTech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
Joining me now, a regular guest on the show, Todd Maffin. Todd, of course, a social media expert, public speaker extraordinaire, former radio, current radio host. You got a new radio show, Todd.
I do. In the U.S., I'm doing a show about mental health and things like that. So, yeah.
Okay.
In the U.S. for some reason. Tiny little station.
Yeah. When does it air?
Tuesday evenings. But I think the station got sold a little while ago, so I don't know if it's even going to stay on the air.
Okay.
It's more of a pet project for me. I actually bought the airtime on eBay, if you can believe that. Like, it's just a hobby.
Get out of town.
It was on sale on eBay. I think it's the first time the radio station's actually sold airtime on eBay. And I thought, well, that looks like fun. And I used to be in radio, and I've been looking for something. I won't produce podcasts. It's sort of a glorified podcast, but I won't do it if there's no deadline. So in that there's a real radio show there, I can actually say, well, there's a deadline. I have to have it out by such or such a time. So it's been fun to work on.
Yeah, it's good to work on a deadline. But you do podcast the show afterwards, do you not?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's a nice thing. It is tough to do a podcast if you don't have a deadline, if you don't have an airtime, because... Yeah, it's easy to let things slide. And I don't know if you're like me, but occasionally I procrastinate. So couldn't possibly. Hey, I was checking the news this week, and I see that the European Federation is looking at cracking down on Facebook and the amount of data that Facebook is mining out of people's Facebook accounts. Have you followed that story at all?
Europe has always been a little bit more aggressive when it comes to privacy. Canada is known as being somewhat aggressive as well in social networks. In fact, it was the Canadian Information Commissioner that really kind of put the screws, as it were, to Facebook and told them to knock some stuff back. But Europe is definitely, they've got some pretty strict laws. In fact, I think just a little while ago, it was ordered by the broadcast regulators, and forgive me, I'm not sure which European country it was, but they were ordered, or the broadcast regulators said, you cannot use the word Facebook or Twitter in certain contexts. So, for instance, a radio station would have to say, just find us on the social network.
That was Germany. I think it was
Germany. There you go. As opposed to us saying, you know, you can find us on Twitter, find us on Facebook, they have to actually be a little bit more coy about it.
Because the reason that they gave, I believe, was that it was advertising. By using the corporate name,
yeah,
Facebook or Google Plus or whatever, by using that branding, it constituted advertising, which they said was unlawful in that context.
Makes sense.
It does make sense. It's just the advancement of logo wear. You know, why you go and spend money on a Nike shirt when Nike puts their logo on it? This I do not understand.
That's right.
So what do you have any idea what data it is that Facebook is mining that they're so concerned about, or is it just the overall concept?
Facebook, there's the obvious stuff, which is whatever you put in Facebook is automatically grabbed a hold of. So, you know, your phone number, your people forget that even though you might have your privacy settings locked down, if you put your address and your phone number in there, people in the outside world, I mean, even if you set that information to only me, which is a setting that means that only you who have the account can see it, people forget that Facebook has that information in its database. I think most people, though, aren't as concerned about that as a couple of the other things. For one thing, it's really difficult to delete your profile on Facebook. We've talked about this before, but the first thing you do is you have to deactivate it. And which is just kind of a nice way of saying putting it on hold, essentially. And Facebook says, you know, but if you ever log in the next month or so, we're going to turn it back on again. And then getting that actual data of yours out for good and removed from their database is part of the reason what Canada was concerned about. That's not the real challenging part, though. I mean, those are certainly a bit nefarious. What we're discovering over time now is that as long as you have been logged into Facebook, as you surf around the web, Facebook can keep track of where you're going if you've installed one of their browser extensions. Now, this is a way for people who use web browsers like Firefox or Internet Explorer or Chrome, the one that I use, it's much faster and getting quite popular. All of these browsers have ways that you can bolt on new features to them. And they're sometimes called extensions or add-ons. So all of these companies like Facebook have got these extensions that bring their site more into your overall browsing experience. So here's an example. I'm surfing around on dottotech.com. I see an article you've written I've liked. And instead of going back to Facebook, punching in the URL, the web address of your article, and advising it, I can get an extension for my browser so that when I'm on your page, I just click the little Facebook like button that's built right into the browser. It looks like it's come right into Internet Explorer or anything like that, like it's been built in. And it does that. It performs that function. It likes that page. So why is that really dangerous? Because for these things to operate, for these browser extensions, let's use Facebook as the example, for it to have that immediate effect, that as soon as I see an article on Dottotech I like, and I click the like button and it automatically likes on my page, I have to actually be logged into Facebook at the time. people forget that. People go browse around Facebook for, you know, whatever. We're going to say a minute or two, but it's probably closer to an hour or two these days for the average person. And then they go off to another website. And they might be off Facebook for days, but they're still actually logged in. They've never actually, you know, clicked log out, which that button is hidden underneath a couple of links, right? So it's problematic kind of getting into it. And as you surf around, Facebook, since you're logged in, is quietly writing down every website you go to. They can even tell what searches you do on Google, because as soon as you do a search on Google, that search term is pasted into the web browser's URL. That becomes part of the website you've actually gone to, and Facebook can log that as well. So that's where a lot of the privacy challenges are. The solution, some people say, is just log out, but there have even been some instances where programmers have found that even when you're logged out, you have to, you know, log out of the browser extension as well, or those sorts of things. It's a problem.
And for people who are concerned about their privacy, is there, you know, other than just not joining Facebook, or it would, you know, or not signing up, is there any solution for them at this point, or is it just something that we just have to accept?
Well, Steve, you and I are old enough in internet terms and technology to remember the days of CompuServe and AOL, which were these large databases. And when people said, are you on the internet? What they really were saying is, do you have an account on CompuServe? Do you have an account on AOL? It was synonymous. People, I think, sometimes treat Facebook that way as well these days. As they say, you know, what, you're not on Facebook? Well, how are you doing anything online? And you don't have to be on Facebook. Is there another social network that is equitable as far as privacy, as far as reach? Not really. The closest competitor is Google. They have a network called Google Plus. But it doesn't have as many people. It tends to be a lot of nerds like you and me hanging out for now. It'll grow. I think Google Plus will be a strong competitor. But it also has these same privacy issues as well. You know, it's privacy on the internet is like a seesaw. At one end of the seesaw is you can lock everything down, make everything completely secure, give it encrypted passwords, you know, military-grade encryption. And on the other end of the seesaw is ease of use. And we have to, as consumers, figure out where we're comfortable with that balance. You know, like I actually don't mind if Facebook knows where I go. Yeah. I couldn't care less. You know, I don't go to that many weird sites, so whatever, knock yourself out. So I tend to err on the side of I'd rather be logged into Facebook and have ease of use so that I can, for instance, just click that like button and it'll automatically like it. Other people might be on the opposite end of the seesaw, you know, and they might say, you know, I'm going to log out of Facebook every single time. Now, I know that by doing that, I'm teetering the other side of the seesaw down, so it won't be as easy for me to use. When I click that like button on my browser to like a Dottotech article, it's not going to be as easy as Todd, because Todd's already logged in, so it'll just do it. For me, I'm going to have to actually manually log in each time I want to do that. But if that's the decision you make, if that's where you place yourself on that teeter-totter, then that's where people come
from. It comes down to the convenience factor versus the privacy. And for many people, the fact that they aren't visiting sites that they're concerned about, or they aren't really overly concerned about the Facebook being able to track where they're going, the convenience far outweighs the privacy issues.
Yeah,
that's until something bad happens, or until we haven't actually yet seen in the press and the media a case where Facebook has been petitioned to track, you know, somebody's web wanderings or anything along that line. But I imagine the day will come.
Absolutely. And let me say this really briefly as well, since we're talking about sort of nefarious websites. If you do go to them, and this can be something as simple as political parties that you don't want, you know, Big Brother knowing that which party you go to, all web browsers have modes where you can browse privately so that it doesn't keep track of where you're going. It doesn't. Chrome, for instance, has a mode called incognito mode. And when you enter that mode, you can find it in the menu options. When you find that, not only won't it record the history of where you've gone in the past, but it can actually automatically turn off these extensions I'm talking about. So as soon as you're in incognito mode, no record is being made on your server, that is, on your browser, rather, and you've these browser extensions that have hooks into these other websites are disabled. But there's ways around it.
Yeah. So in Firefox, that's called the privacy mode. And there's a tip. And, you know, and it's not always just because you're out there browsing porn sites. It could be because you're buying your significant other a gift. And you don't want them looking in the history and seeing that you were at Barnes & Noble or wherever it was you happened to might be shopping to be able to track down the gift. Or if you, I guess kids would be more likely than your significant other to be able to search in the history.
Absolutely. And an important note, what we're talking about is you erasing your tracks on your end only. The internet service provider still has a record that you've gone to this website and so forth, but your significant other would have to actually call, you know, Shaw or Telus or whatever and say, hey, by the way, would you mind looking up from this time to this time when my computer and which website, and they're not going to without a court order. So we're talking about your end, but it is a little bit more difficult at their end as well.
Layers upon layers. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to return with more Todd Maffin in just a few seconds.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. App of the Week is brought to you by MacStation, your Apple solutions experts.
Chris Miller's in to discuss App of the Week, to bring forward his App of the Week, the one that he thinks will defeat me in our week. It's bad that we compete, but it's just my competitive nature.
Okay. Well, you're competing. I just, you know,
you're
I'm
losing.
Just here. Okay.
You're not. You've brought some great apps that I've used.
Okay. Well, I'm very happy to hear that.
Good. What's up?
This one, this time around, to further my own stereotype of geek nature, I was, in fact, the captain of the chess team in high school.
Really?
We not only had one, I was the captain of it. That wasn't based on skill.
That means there was more than one person on it.
There was at least five at any given time.
You had five people on your chess team?
Yeah. And I think I was elected captain.
Were you captain because of how tough you were in the corners?
No, I was the captain because I was the one who'd actually spoken to a girl before grade 10. So that was it was a different rating system.
Was
but it
she on the chess
me.
Team?
Not at all. Moving on, I have this great app called Master Chess, and it's the simplest, most basic, just chess program.
Okay.
There's no bells and whistles.
This is great.
There's no group think to it. There's no, you don't have to
is
be on Wi-Fi.
Is it good for
you don't
instructing
be...
little kids?
Because it is, because there's actually a difficulty setting you
this
can
past week at home, both my 13-year-old and my partner's 8-year-old came up to me and said, we want to learn to play chess, which I said, you're not old enough.
Sure.
They are, but I just don't have the patience.
Oh, because you don't want to lose to a 12-year-old, 13-year-old.
That would be really bad. Yeah. I probably would lose to the 13-year-old. But I do want to teach them, but they also don't have the attention span. Teaching kids today isn't quite the same. And so I was hoping that I could find a chess application that they could play at a really easy level to practice a little bit at once I've taught them the basic moves.
So what I like about Master Chess is it's quick enough in reaction, especially on the iPhone 4 or 4S, that I can have a full game in about 5 minutes. Because you said that it's built around speed chess. It's built around competitive chess.
Okay.
So there is a timer. You only get 5 minutes in total to make your moves. But if I want to have if I'm waiting for a bus or waiting for a door to open, I can just open up the app and play a 3-minute game, and I have mine cranked up, so I usually get just destroyed. And it's great. It's a way to kill 3 minutes. It's fun. It's a game of chess. And if you like a little bit of chess every now and again, you can just hop in, hop out. You don't need to set up pieces.
Master
there
Chess. Cost?
Zero.
Free. I like free. Now, mine is something that I normally don't like putting forward because it's not so much an app as it's an app that represents a website. But there is a new online source for tech news called The Verge.
Mm-hmm.
And The Verge, they just seem to have got it. They seem to have the most interesting, compelling stories. They've got good writers. They've got great graphics. And they've got an app now called The Verge for the iPad and for the iPhone, which just works great. And so if you are listening to this show and interested in technology, The Verge is the app that I think that you might like because it does. It's one that I go back to on a regular basis. Now, Flipboard, where I have most of my tech news feeding through, and The Verge is become. They don't have a Flipboard feed, unfortunately. So I've downloaded The Verge app, and that's my pick of the week. And I think I'm going to give it to you. I think Master Chess is good. I think the kids are going to like that. We're going to try it out this week.
It's fun.
Thank you.
App of the Week is brought to you by MacStation. Book a one-on-one training with our Apple specialists or sign up for one of our free workshops. Get the most out of your Mac with MacStation.
On the other end of this line, Todd Maffin of toddmaffin.com, of course, social media expert. Hey, Todd, New Year's is coming. You know, we were going to be talking Christmas gifts today in the show a bit and other things, but New Year's resolutions. You sent me a little note saying, Are you committed to decluttering your digital life? What do you mean?
Well, I don't know about you, but I tend to, through the year, find all these cool little things, you know, like we were talking about these browser extensions, and they add on to my web browser, and I end up doing more things with them, and I add on more services, more software, and I get another Twitter account, and you know, by the end of the year, it kind of all, I've got 85 things chirping, chiming, growl alerts flashing at me on the computer, and it's pretty distracting, you know. I mean, for the most part, I'm a writer. I mean, I do reviews and audits for companies, but that's all writing. It's the kind of stuff that you've got to sit down in a dark room, have someone throw meat at you once every 3 days, and just get to work. And all these distractions, which, you know, are... since I started talking, since the last moment you actually spoke, which was about 45 seconds ago, I've four little chirps have shown up on my computer, and just now one buzzed in my ear on the phone that I'm on. Like, it's nuts.
It's interesting because it not only does it take up time, but it takes you away from productivity, but it also uses up system resources on your computer like crazy. I just wrote an article last week about I finally turfed Firefox and went to Google Chrome. The reason was, well, Firefox would crash on me occasionally, which was bad enough, but I installed this memory management program that told me where my resources were being used, and I was stunned to see how much of my computer's resources Firefox was stealing.
I know what you're talking about. This is MemoryScope, the fellow from the store that you had on the other day.
Yeah. Exactly. We talked. It was App of the Week last week. It was called MemoryScope, and I installed. Have you installed it?
I did. It's phenomenal. I absolutely agree. This is a Mac program,
and it
loads up in the dock. You click it, and it shows you where your memory is going. But most importantly, what's quite clever about it is because some programs leak, right? They'll sort of it's sort of like an old engine. It kind of leaks memory, and this kind of snaps it all up, and it. I hadn't run into one like that before.
But it caused me to finally turf Firefox, and that's not an easy thing when you've been living in a browser for a couple of years. Everything is there, and it's, even though it's theoretically easy to transfer everything over, it's not. But I spent about 3 or 4 hours, and now I'm in Chrome. And guess what happened this morning as I was prepping for the show? Chrome crashed. I cannot believe it. I don't know why. I'm afraid. I'm afraid that I've made a mistake, but nevertheless.
Well, I'll bet you I know why. I'll bet you that you've got a lot of these browser extensions, a lot of these things loaded up. The more of these things you load up, right, the more unstable it gets.
I've got two browser extensions loaded into Chrome.
Oh, well, I don't know what the hell's going on.
I've got a Measure It, which I like because whenever you're doing web graphics on your web page and you want to see how many pixels wide a graphic is, it's a little online ruler that measures things. And then I've got Evernote. Everybody has to have Evernote. It's a must-have, and that's it. Those are the only extensions that I have installed in, I think.
I find, you know, I mean, one of the things that I sort of committed to, and I try to do this every year, is to sort of declutter my digital life from things like that. So it sounds like you've done a good job already.
Just started. I think I have a lot more to go.
I think we all do. I actually found a really interesting program called Rescue Time. Have you heard of this?
No.
It's on a website.
No.
Rescue Time is really cool. It's a little application, runs on Windows or Mac, will sit in your system tray or menu bar, whichever version you've got there. It's a little tiny program, and it just does nothing. It just sits there, and as far as you're concerned, it's just taking up a little bit of icon space. But secretly what it's doing is it's keeping an eye on everything you do. And every document you have open, every website you go to, every program you have open. So it's not just monitoring what you're doing online, but actually on your computer. Like, how much time do you spend playing Angry Birds, the application, versus how much time are you actually in your word processor, right? So it'll track all this stuff, and it logs it securely on a website under your account. You've got your own password. No one else can see where you've gone and how you're spending your day. And it knows... It's got this huge database of programs, and it's estimated, get this, the level of productivity for each application and each website you could go to. Thousands and thousands of these application programs and or websites. So here's an example, PowerPoint. Most people would say if you're in PowerPoint, you're being very productive. So that scores a +2 on their productivity ranking.
Uh-huh.
If you're on the Twitter website, it's probably a -1. That's probably not very productive, but not horribly unproductive, just not really productive. So you end up with, over the course of the day, it doesn't prompt you, it just knows to do this. Over the course of the day, it kind of keeps track of what you're doing and how you're doing it, which programs, and therefore how productive it thinks you're being. And then you can run reports. So you can have it once a week. This is what it does for me. Once a week is it emails me a breakdown, a graphical breakdown of how I've spent my time. So it says, all right, overall, you've spent most of your time in presentation software this week. Well, big surprise, I've got a speech and workshop coming out next week, right? So that's not a surprise. It says, the next time you spent a lot of time on social networking sites. Well, okay, guilty as charged. So you get a sense of sort of how you're spending your time, and then it'll chart your productivity. So you can even say, it'll even report to you, you know, okay, here's a chart of the last 12 weeks. Notice your productivity level is actually declining.
Wow.
Really, it is really cool. RescueTime.com, and it's free. They've got a free plan. The only distinction really between the pro version, which you pay for, and the free version is the pro version will track things like actual document titles. So let's say that you're working in Microsoft Word and you're using the free version. It'll know that you've been in Word versus Excel. If you're paying for the pro version, it'll also be able to tell you, well, while you were in Word, you were actually working on the HR document 80% of the time and some other document 20% of the time. Mm. So it's a little more granular.
So just out of curiosity, what's a good productivity score for you and what's a poor one?
I don't vary very much. I tend to be sort of in the, I think I'm in the upper 45%. And it gave me this pathetic little badge. And I'm like, really? Upper 45%? I mean, cheers for them for trying to put a positive spin on it. But
it'd be interesting to know kind of overall what people who use this software, what range is the average. Like I would think that if you're 50% productive of the amount of time you spend on computer, just knowing how we end up navigating back and forth, checking Twitter feeds, checking your Facebook status update, I would tend to think anything closing in on 50% has to be actually pretty good.
I think it is pretty good, yeah.
Now, can you install this on your employees' computers?
You can. Well, there's a team version as well where you can do that as well.
Yes. I wonder how popular that would be.
Not very, but legally in Canada, you've got the right to do that, to monitor your employees' work, and if that's the way you choose to do it, you can do it that way.
I think
you don't actually need their permission.
I think it comes down to the attitude of the boss. You know,
yeah.
Whether or not is this a tool to help us, or is this a tool that I'm going to use as a weapon against you?
That's right.
Now, speaking of weapons against people, you told me that you figured out a way to unfriend people politely in Facebook. Part of decluttering your life might be reducing the number of spurious friends you have on Facebook.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I do this about every 6 months or so. I go through and I kind of clear out the friend clutter. Isn't that an awful thing to say?
But, do you do that?
Yeah, I do. So watch yourself.
Have I survived? Am I your friend on Facebook?
So far.
Oh, good, 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 good.
We'll see how the rest of this interview goes. But okay. Yeah, so far, so good.
We haven't fought yet. Yeah, that's good.
So there's a couple of things. One is Facebook doesn't by default show you who's unfriended you. I think they don't do that because they want, you know, I mean, if I unfriended you, I think you would probably send me an email. Well, why did you unfriend me? I mean, you get a lot of that, right?
It would be awkward, yes.
It would be awkward. However, if you want to know, there is a way to find out who's unfriended you, and it'll tell you right away.
Hmm.
There's a couple of tools like this.
Yeah, I've seen there are tools that you have to sign up for, though, right?
No, not this one. The one that I like is called Social Fixer. Now, they've just changed their name. They used to be called Better Facebook, but Facebook came along and smacked them down with a lawyer's letter. So now they're called Social Fixer. And this is one of these browser extensions we were talking about. So it's free. You install it into your browser. Very easy to do. You just Google Social Fixer, and it'll show up. And it lets you – it'll sort of add features to Facebook. So as you're browsing now, on the right-hand side, there's a thing called Friend Tracker. And if someone defriends you, because I think unfriend is not actually grammatically correct, but anyway, it's what's caught on. I think it should be defriend. I will change the world single-handedly with this, by the way.
Alienate.
If someone defriends you, it pops up. You get their name. You can find out pretty much within the hour that they did it. So how do you unfriend people? Well, there's really the only way to do it is to do it, or maybe announce, you know, here's a polite way of doing it. Here's the Canadian approach. Is first, I would post on your wall, on your personal profile wall, something to the extent, apologetic tone, and say something like, I'm just swamped with work these days. I'm trying to scale back on all of my electronic communications. I'm going to reduce my friends list down to, just down to close family members. Please don't be offended. So then you kind of covered it. Then people...
Except for close family members that you unfriend.
Well, then if they discover that you've done it to them, right, they they don't feel like you've done it specifically to them.
Yes.
Like, well, I just got caught up in this sweep. And now, on Twitter, it's easy to because
yeah,
Twitter, you can
just
follow
and unfollow, yeah.
There's a great tool out there. It's also free. It's called Twit Cleaner. Not tweet, not Twitter, but Twit Cleaner. As in a twit, you know, a person who's kind of a goof. So twitcleaner.com. This is also free. You give it, you log in with Twitter once you're there at twitcleaner.com. And it takes a couple of minutes. It goes through all of the people you followed and it analyzes them. Tries to figure out what kind of tweeters these people are. And then it gives you a list of people it thinks are dodgy. So it'll say, here's a list of people you follow who have not tweeted in the last 3 months. And if you click on their name, bang, you've unfollowed them.
Okay.
Yeah, and it'll also say, here's a list of people who don't actually ever have conversations with people on Twitter. All they do is post links. Or here's a list of people who just replicate other people's content.
Okay.
So it's got 5 or 6 of these categories, and it went through, and it actually found more than 10% of the people I followed were either spam bots or they weren't good people to follow on Twitter. And why is that important? Because Twitter can influence your clout score. We don't have time to get into clout. It's K-L-O-U-T if you want to Google it. But it's a measure of influence. And on the internet, it'll find out how influential you are. And you are only as influential as the people around you, the people you follow. So if your Twitter account, if you're following lots and lots of people who are jerks or who are spam bots or who, you know, they themselves have low clout scores, if you're following those people, your clout score will go down. And why is that important? Because these days, especially if you're going into an admin job or a marketing job or a job in human resources, people will look at your LinkedIn account. Sometimes they will check your clout score to see how influential you are.
I'm starting to do that.
If I were looking for a marketing director for a shopping center, I'd want someone who has a high personal clout score because they know how to network. So those things are important these days.
As I look for guests or as I look for stories or as I look for people that I want to follow, I am measuring people's clout score. And I'm starting to follow mine and worry about mine occasionally. So yeah, it is a different world. But mainly, we're dealing with cleaning things up. So you've given us a whole bunch of great tips for cleaning people up. And I do have one last question for you. I never follow who unfriends me or defriends me or alienates me on Facebook. I'm not going to install that app.
No.
How do you feel when you see someone has stopped following me on Facebook?
How do I feel when someone unfollows me?
Personally, because you're a sensitive guy.
I'm not that offended. You know, I know that people get overloaded. People often will, you know, when they first get on Facebook, they'll friend everyone, and then they sort of think better of it when their news feed is cluttered. So I don't think I've ever been offended when someone's defriended me.
I keep an eye on my overall number, but then I use Facebook not as much for personal stuff. I use it a lot to support the show, and I do a lot of quasi-business stuff on Facebook.
Yeah,
so it's it seems to just rest nicely there because the stuff that I converse with my friends is the sort of stuff we cover on the show. So I tend to use it that way. I'm not sure if I'm really comfortable with that and continuing in that vein, but for the time being, I'm going to. So I just kind of keep my eye on the general number, and I never really concern myself too much. But I think I might end up having a little bit hurt feelings sometimes if people unfriended me. So I think I'll avoid that one.
Yeah, that might not be the best one for you.
Yeah, because I'm a sensitive guy. Todd Maffin. ToddMaffin.com is his site. We will post links to all of the different sites that he talked about. Thanks so much for your time today. And Todd, if we don't see you before Christmas, the best of the season to you and your family.
You as well.
Thank you, Todd.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Do you have a comment or question for Dottotech? Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dottotech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
Steve is about to do you a big favor if you pay attention. It is just about December, and you've got to get Christmas shopping now, or you're going to be caught in the rush. You're going to be caught in the mall crush. So I have invited two experts in from London Drugs, Theo Horsdahl and Ryan Mohagan, in to talk about best technology gifts, because we are a tech show, for men, women, families, How are you doing, guys?
Very good. Thank you, Steve.
Now,
good,
have thanks. Either one of you actually completed your Christmas shopping yet?
Not even started.
Now, and Teo, you got like a five-year-old.
I do. I have a 5- and a 4-year-old.
Oh, this Christmas is going to be awesome for you guys. Yeah. Like last Christmas was good. This Christmas will be better.
Thankfully, they're such an age that they don't even know that it's going to be last minute. It's just, it'll happen on the morning,
Santa
and
Claus.
That's the most important.
Santa Claus brings us stuff.
Well, that's, yeah,
Santa Claus seems to be fairly last minute dude.
Right. And we're competing with Santa Claus, too.
You are competing with Santa Claus. Good on you. Okay, so you guys have broken gifts down into gifts for men and women, for adults, basically, and then gifts for the family, which are kind of more family-oriented, which is really what mom and dad want, but you're giving it under the guise that the kids are going to enjoy it too. And then we got a special gift for mother-in-laws, which we'll talk about a little bit later on. So what's off the top of the list? What do you got for me?
Well, I'll start with the Microsoft Arc Touch Mouse. It's a mouse that's actually shaped in the form of an arc.
Yeah.
And what's kind of interesting about that is it works on multiple surfaces. And when you're traveling, it actually folds flat to turn it off.
Yeah.
So it's more compact.
I have that mouse. And I love that mouse. It is a great mouse. It folds up really nicely, and it's one of the most comfortable in my hand.
Yeah. And it works on multiple surfaces, too, so you can use it practically anywhere.
And in multiple operating systems. It works just fine in Windows or Mac. Now, what do they retail for?
This one's $49.99.
So it's a great stocking stuffer.
Absolutely.
It is a great stocking stuffer. And, you know, you can't have too many mice, especially if you're in a notebook and you travel. A lot of people travel with a notebook and they use the trackpad all the time. When you give them a portable mouse and they get to travel with the mouse all of a sudden, it makes a big difference in your productivity, I think, on using a notebook. Because no matter how good the trackpads are, you're always more efficient navigating your way around with
and it
mouse.
Has a micro receiver, so you can just leave the receiver plugged into your notebook. You don't even have to take it out.
Yeah, and when you close the lid on the mouse, I know all about this mouse. When you close the lid on it, the battery turns off.
That's correct.
So it saves power. Yep. Yeah, good choice. You, Ryan, you can give another suggestion. That's good.
Okay. Sure. How about we have some car mice and bling mouse?
Okay. Now you're staying on the mouse theme. What's a car mice?
So a car mouse is actually a mouse that's shaped in the form of a car. It actually has headlights that light up.
You should have stopped at the arc mouse, Ryan.
Well, it's,
does it have a horn that honks?
No, it does not have a horn. But it is a different type of gift that, you know, if you're somebody that's maybe technically inclined that you're not really sure what to get them, this may be the gift for them.
I hope not. Okay, I shouldn't be dissing it because you guys are bringing them in. You want to sell them, I know, but that's really... Okay, Carmos, what was the other one you said?
The other one is a bling mouse, and it basically looks like it has rubies or diamonds on
Remember
it.
Remember the old bedazzler?
Yeah?
It's pretty much been bedazzled.
It's been bedazzled. You started out so well, and now I'm going to have to put you in the penalty box.
These units have been selling very well.
Well, I'll trust you on that. I trust everybody that's listening that knows, that's getting Steve gifts, knows that no car mice or bling mice for me. The Arc Mouse, I'm all over that.
Okay,
but the other ones, your mileage may vary. Okay, Teo, rescue me.
Yeah, well, maybe I'm going to something that's a little more functional. So we have a line of cases, sleeves that are literally impact proof. You can drop these things from 15 feet in the air.
Cases, sleeves for?
For iPad, okay. For anything from 11-inch to 15-inch notebooks.
Okay.
So these, you can put your notebook in, you can put your iPad in, and you literally can drop it on the floor. They're made out of a crush-resistant foam that absorbs the impact. It absorbs the energy from a drop, from an impact, and it will save your notebook or iPad.
Now, are these cases functional cases that open and close, or are they just ones that the iPad slides
they're
in?
They're basically a sleeve, so they're zipper. So you have a zipper that opens up. You slide the notebook or the iPad in, and once it's closed, it will survive an impact. I don't recommend you do this, but one of their videos, they show it dropping from a height of about 60 feet.
Really?
No kidding.
A notebook?
It was actually an iPad.
Yeah,
so you think about that's a big hunk of glass. Without problem, it didn't even
iPad,
not a scratch.
The iPad can shatter quite easily. Because that edge-to-edge glass, which looks so beautiful, is also a real challenge if it drops and it hits anywhere near the edge. Yeah. How much do those retail for?
They're $69 or $79.
So that's a gift. That's a great companion gift, especially if you're getting somebody an iPad for Christmas or something along that line. Good one. Okay, what's up next?
We have another one. So we have something called the Logitech Wireless Boombox. And what this is it's basically looks like a long rectangular speaker, but it can hook up to anything that has a Bluetooth. So whether that's an iPod, an iPhone, iPad, any Bluetooth device, even a computer, and the sound is absolutely incredible. It has 8 speakers, and it rivals, you know, full on stereo systems.
So if you've got an Android phone with Bluetooth connection,
absolutely,
and you've got your music on it, it'll connect nicely with this. Now, does this support AirPlay, or if you're in the Apple world, are you going to be looking for a different product?
It does support AirPlay. That's a very good point. And not only that, it's portable, so it has a 6-hour battery in it.
Now it's a pretty large speaker set. We've looked at some smaller ones. Now, what do these ones? This one retail for?
That one's $119.
Okay.
99 cents.
Okay, so that's a cool idea. I do like these ideas, the idea of these wireless boom boxes, these wireless players that either use AirPlay. And this one, because it is Bluetooth, AirPlay will connect to other devices besides the iPhone, because there's lots of choices for the iPhone, but maybe are there less choices, do you think, for the Android phones, or just...
I think the nice thing about this is it's compatible with pretty much anything that has Bluetooth. And not only for music, obviously that's what the primary purpose is for, but voice communication is a big play on any of those devices now. Now you can actually have a in the room as if the person was right there talking to you.
Okay, if you're doing... Now, does this have a microphone in it?
You would use the microphone off of your device.
Off your phone, but as far as for the playback, as far as if you're doing video, audio conferencing or something along that line. Excellent. Good choice. Okay, up next. Okay, Ryan, you're out of the penalty box.
Okay, excellent. How about for console? I wanted to talk about games for Kinect.
Okay.
And more so, I wanted to talk about family games.
These are family gifts.
Yeah,
now.
So Just Dance 3 and even Your Shapes Fitness.
Okay, now we should explain. Kinect is that bar which with a camera that points out from the Xbox back into the room, and it allows your body to become the controller. So where you move, the character on the screen moves, or it reacts to your actual physical motion as opposed to a controller.
That is correct. You are the controller.
Okay, so what are these two games?
So Just Dance 3 and Your Shapes Fitness. And so what it is, of course, is the first one. It's a dance game where you can do all different type of dances and you can compete against a competitor. Again, because you're the controller, you're not just sitting there. You're actually working. You're getting some exercise.
It's working off some of the Christmas turkey. Yeah,
that's exactly it.
And then there's an exercise program as
correct,
well.
Correct, yes. Your Shapes Fitness. Again, it walks you through various fitness exercises, another way to get into shape.
And these retail for, $69,
$79? No, the Just Dance 3 is $39.99.
Really?
And the Your Shapes Fitness is $50.
Now, are the Kinect games, are the Xbox games dropping, are the prices lower on console games this year?
Because
I remember them all being like $69, kind of the bottom range.
Yes, they have come down in price. You still have like the Call of Duty Modern Warfare, that's still a $60
title.
Yeah,
those are still
the
expensive.
Again, that's more graphics intensive, so it does cost more to produce those type of games.
And they can also charge for it.
We're
going to take a quick break. We've got lots more gifts to talk about. I've got Teo and I've got Ryan from London Drugs here. I'm Steve Dotto and you're tuned in to Dotto Tech.
Mac Tech, brought to you by MacStation, your Apple solutions experts.
Chris Miller from MacStation drops in to talk about all things Mac. What's up this week, Chris?
Well, this week I brought to you a program called Movie Draft SE. Now, the people who have done a little bit of screenwriting or dabbled and perhaps are trying to just break into the whole movie or writing industry are pretty aware of a program called Final Draft. It's about $600. It's pretty much been the go-to program for screenwriters, stage play artists, and teleplay writers forever. It's been the program. In fact, if you ever see a TV show where it shows writers writing, it's usually they're using Final Draft. Now, this program, Movie Draft SE, I came across on the Apple App Store for the Mac, and it was $29, so I figured I'd give it a shot. It is everything that Final Draft does and can do, including all the peripherals, all the saving techniques, and all of the quick shortcuts for dialogue, for character, for parenthetical, the whole nine yards. It's exactly Final Draft at less than, 5% the price?
No kidding.
And it's a download. It works great. I have absolutely no complaints.
Isn't that something? So it's called Final...
It's Movie Draft SE.
Is it from the same people?
No, it's from completely different people. And they've just emulated it almost perfectly.
And the printing? Have you checked the printing?
Printing out,
thing.
It comes out. You can do watermarks just like Final Draft. You can do the exact same parentheticals. You can export into anything you like.
So for script writing, for screen, television,
any sort
movie.
Of production, film, television, theater.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to give that a shot. You know, there is actually, I'm just going to toss out, I realize this isn't one of our appetizers, but our app reviews, but there's a program called A Novel Idea, which is an app that you can run. It's free on your iPad, and it allows you to outline books and it, breaking it down into chapters and scenes and locations and characters and that sort of stuff. And it's just it's more an educational app for schools and for that sort of thing, but just along the same line, just because I felt like throwing something in there.
It just shows to be creative, you don't have to spend a bunch of money.
Yeah, no kidding. Thanks so much, Chris.
Thank
and
you, Steve.
If you need more information, drop by your local Mac station.
Come and see us.
MacTech is brought to you by MacStation, your environmentally friendly solution. Trade up to the newest technology. Save taxes on the new machine. Give a second life to your old Mac. MacStation, who said business and pleasure don't mix? You're listening to DottoTech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
With Christmas just around the corner, I thought I'd bring in my guys from London Drugs to talk about and give you some ideas of some possible gift ideas for Christmas, because I know it's always a challenge. So I've got Ryan Mohagan and Theo Horstall in. So Theo, you're up next. What's up?
Well, let's see. Here's a little bit of, you know, if you've got a really important person on your list, how about a 17-inch Asus notebook?
Nobody's that important on my list this year.
Well, maybe you can throw it out there and maybe somebody can get it for you.
Okay.
How about this? 12 gigabytes of RAM.
Okay.
A 3 gigabyte video card.
Wow.
750 gig hard drive and an i7 processor for $14.99.
So this would be more than a desktop replacement. This is almost a gaming notebook.
You could use it for gaming, absolutely. You can use it pretty much anything. It's top of the line.
And it's an Asus?
Asus.
Okay, so $1,500 for... Was it the $1,500 the price?
$14.99
for basically a 17-inch notebook. And if you are buying a 17-inch notebook, it's not a portable computer. It's really a desktop replacement at that point.
It does have a battery, so you could move it. I would not recommend going too far because it's probably a little bit heavy.
You know, I love seeing people try and open them in economy class on the airplane. I can remember when I had my first 17-inch notebook, Apple sent me one of their new 17-inch when they first came out with the 17-inches. And I was so happy to get this thing. And I turned it into my notebook in the office, and it was all great. And then I jumped on a plane to go to Toronto to do something, and it was just like, what? Okay, now I'm, yeah, I just, it was a wake-up call.
Well, and from going to from heavy to lighter, if you prefer something a little more portable, obviously iPad is on everybody's Christmas list.
Yeah, I think it'll be an iPad Christmas for a lot of people.
It quite very well be. It's they start at $519.99 is where they start, and they go all the way up to about $849.
Yeah.
You shouldn't stop there, though. There's a lot you can add to the iPad.
If you are getting, if you are in a blended family, or you've got a family where you got, you know, kids got to get gifts for their siblings and stuff like that. If you are getting somebody an iPad, then the accessories do make a difference. So, what's your favorite accessories?
Well, personally, my favorite accessories, because I use it for work quite a lot, are the Bluetooth keyboards.
Yes. Now, I haven't used a Bluetooth keyboard yet on mine.
No, I'm going to change that. Yeah, I'm going to change that.
This is nice.
So, there's a couple I'll talk about.
You didn't
about.
Wrap it up, though.
No, I didn't. I spared you the surprise. So, I'll start with the lowest range. So, specifically from Logitech, they have a couple of keyboards. Now, it's not just for iPad. We have an iPad and any Android tablet or phone, of course.
Because they're Bluetooth. They're going to work
Bluetooth.
On anything.
Yep. Yeah. So, but they actually have specific keyboards for Android, specific keyboards for iPad because of the functional keys.
Okay.
So, yes, you can use it, but there are some hotkeys that are specific to those operating systems.
Got it. Okay.
So, the Logitech ones we carry, the tablet keyboards, are $69.99. And they would just be the keyboard themselves, and they would come with a little stand. The protective case doubles as a stand for the tablet or the phone. Going all the way up to the foldable keyboard from Logitech, which you're holding in your hand.
Okay.
So that's essentially, it's very difficult to describe, but it's more or less a case that folds out into a keyboard. So you could actually use it, carry it around, nobody would ever know you had a keyboard, and you press a button, and now you have a keyboard.
Oh,
folds right out.
Now this case when it's in case mode,
it'll protect the back of the unit.
Oh, okay.
But the front it would not.
Can you
be protected.
Still keep your smart cover on it with the front?
You can. I believe it's smart cover compatible. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that's gonna be cool. I'm gonna give this a good run.
There you go.
So this is a small, and this is a full size keyboard. This isn't a chiclet keyboard.
Full size keyboard, and it folds right out into full size keyboard.
And it splits in the middle.
It does.
So it allows you to do that ergonomic split thing.
It's flat. It's straight. When it splits in the middle, it's just for the functional form of folding back into.
Oh, I got it. Okay, so it's like that old IBM. IBM had had a folding keyboard.
They called it a butterfly keyboard. This is
that
very
was
similar.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
And then the last one on the keyboard theme with a folio case for protecting both the front and the back. We have something from Zag, and it's called the Zag Folio, and it's $119, and that basically allows you to use your iPad more or less like a notebook, very similar to that, but yet fold it back into a very slim folio style.
I like that one. And the Zag, now, I was not a huge fan of Zag's early keyboard for the iPad 1 because it had little ridges around the edge, and it wasn't very comfortable in the hands, but this one doesn't have that doesn't have that problem.
It's a straight keyboard, and the nice thing is that it's very portable, and it's pretty easy to take the iPad out if you're not wanting to use
and
the keyboard. When,
to give this thing credit, it's $120, $119.
$119.99.
When you look at it, it looks like it's a notebook. Now, I know you don't want your iPad to look like a notebook, but I've seen people in coffee shops working away, and it looks like they're on the notebook. And really, if you're starting to use the iPad the way that they're in full functionality, they've got most of the functionality of a notebook. Are you starting to use yours?
I would say it's still, for me, 50-50.
That's pretty good, though.
Nice thing is this is very portable, so I can carry it anywhere. Very similar to a very small notebook.
Not just really portable, but also incredibly long battery life.
Yes.
So even using the Bluetooth connection, I don't think that would kill the battery too much.
Sure.
So those are some great Bluetooth keyboard options. Ryan, you're still around?
Yes, I'm still here.
Do you have something more for me?
Sure, you bet. The click-free backup. What this is external hard drives that are very intuitive, and basically you plug it in, it installs the drivers itself, it basically says you have photos, you have music, you have files to back up, would you like to back them up? You click OK, it does it. Next thing you do is you click finish, and it's done.
And it's really good in intuitive software. Now, have they been hit hard by the floods that caused a price change, or...?
Not so much for them. Because of the software involved, they did have a price premium. So if anything, they've actually come closer to the pricing of the regular hard drives.
Okay.
Yes.
So click-free, that's a good idea. Now, we already run out of time, believe it or not, but I do want to get in because your colleague Cedric sent in a great idea for mother-in-laws, which is he wants people to buy AppleCare for their mother-in-law. And his theory is for $200, you can be free of technical support calls from your mother-in-law for years to come. So think about a support contract for her as well. I need to thank my guests from London Drugs, Theo Horstall and Ryan Mohagan. Thanks, guys, for coming in, and we wish you a very blessed Christmas.
Thank you.
As I can tell by the incredible size and volume of the Movember mustache on Art's yap, November is drawing to an end. It is the last day. Well, that means that December is upon us, and December and our November giveaway on Dottotech is...
the Kobo.
The Kobo Vox. So this is your last chance to enter to win the Kobo Vox. We're going to be giving it away on next week's show. It's a beautiful color Android ebook reader, the hottest new product from Kobo. You can enter to win one for free. Where do you go to enter, Art?
Dottotech.com.
Indeed. Well, Art, we've run out of time for the show. You know, we never got a chance in the news to talk about, for me to ask you off the top, how's the iPhone 4S working out for you?
I want to marry Siri, my fantastic phone helper.
Really?
Yeah, she's great. But unfortunately, I'll ask a question like, Siri, can I marry you?
Sorry, I couldn't do that.
Oh, and why would you ask your phone to marry you?
Because it's awesome. It's the best girlfriend
ever.
You're
just playing with it. Now, here's I'm going to be posting this. One thing you got to check out, there was a flight in Australia where somebody's iPhone overheated.
Yeah, you were telling me.
Yeah, it glowed all red. It started to glow red, and there's a photo of the phone is like pretty much melted. There was a battery issue. We don't know what the situation was, whether the person was using a bad charger or what, but it was you got to be careful of those batteries in these phones, the sealed batteries. They can be a little bit scary. It's certainly not an endemic problem yet, but it's something that if your phone starts getting warm in your pocket, get it out of your pocket. Tout suite. That's French for fast.
Oh, okay. Wow. This is a tech French program.
It is a tech French program. Now, do you have any great ideas from Christmas? Are you gonna be committed to doing your Christmas shopping a little bit earlier this year?
1 year, I actually bought all of my Christmas gifts from London Drugs, no lie.
Yeah.
And I learned that you never buy a woman anything that plugs in.
But, you know, you can do all your Christmas shopping at London Drugs. That's why they're such a great sponsor.
Absolutely.
Because it's not just tech. You can get anything.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I learned that everything I learned on the show today from all the gifts, great guy gifts, The female gifts all have to go down.
But
like,
they have them there too. They have the perfumes. They have the scented stuff. All
I know.
That. Yeah,
I know.
That's all the time we have for this week's show. On behalf of Art, I'm Steve Dotto. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time right here, or you'll hear us next time right here on Dotto Tech.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except.